Good morning, everyone. You know, I think it's awesome with the songs we've been singing, just declaring the love of the Lord, to the testimonies that we've already heard. And I want to give a quick testimony as well, actually, because there is healing just in the worship. I'd slightly exaggerated to my wife, bless her, that I was well enough to get us from A to B at a conference, but I was determined that I was going to get there. But as I was driving along, I'm thinking this was stupid, because driving is quite a serious thing, and it involves other people, other road users. So actually I was a little bit irresponsible, but I was so determined to be at this conference. And through the worship, I mean, I'd arrived, people who knew me, you know, before it all started said, "Sean, you look dreadful." I said, "Thank you, what a wonderful welcome." But during the worship, I received healing. I went from a really dreadful state to just thinking, wow, I'm alive, I'm feeling. And actually, I hadn't eaten for about 2 days. So all of a sudden, I'm thinking, wow, I'm very hungry. But that's the power of God's love. That's His desire. Do you know, He will meet you every time, wherever it is you're at. It doesn't matter how we receive our healing, it's the fact that God meets us and we will receive that healing every time. Today's message is, what are we walking in? And it's from Ephesians 2 verses 1 to 10, but I will focus on verse 10. What are we walking in? And actually, I think this morning's testimonies are a very good example of what we're walking in. It's about people who have come up and testified that they weren't having it. They weren't going to allow their circumstances to be the overcomer. They were the ones that were going to overcome the circumstances. And they pressed in, they stood on the word, they even worshipped at times, and the Lord honours that. So from verse 1, I'm reading from the King James, because it's just a word that inspired me. "And you have He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according of the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us." And I love that. "Has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And has raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Oh, there's just so much in these words. "That in the ages to come He might shew the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God have before ordained that we should walk in them." That we should walk in them. There is so much within just 10 verses, but I'm going to need to focus on verse 10. And so what are we walking in? "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has ordained that we should walk in them." So a bit of context. Here we are, first being reminded that we were dead in our transgressions even, and sins, incapable of making a righteous decision, instead following and gratifying the ways of our sinful nature. But from the onset of verse 1, we have been made alive because God's great love for us has made us alive in Christ Jesus. Now that's good news just there. That is such good news. We have been made alive in Christ Jesus. So I want to talk about the cultivation of his workmanship. And actually, the testimonies we've had has shown the character of people's tenacity, knowing that their God will see them through. Are we walking in his creativeness? The word workmanship is the Greek word paema, only used twice in the New Covenant and means a product, fabric, thing that is made, and for what God the Father has in mind, a masterful creativity. The other reference for this is in Romans 1:20, and this is what that verse says: "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." And it's that those words, "things that are made," that's the other context, that's the other connection. So we need to look at ourselves as those things which are made. God has made us in his image, and he has blessed us with revelation of that through the whole of creation, of who we are. I had a bit of a download for this section last night, and it goes something like this. So how does what we have just heard help us right here and now? You know, Jesus Christ, in his human form, was fully God and fully man. In the complete visible expression of the invisible things of him, God in his fullness from the creation of the world. So in other words, we may be able to say, well, I didn't see it. I didn't understand about the trees around me, the oceans around me, the mountains, the vistas, the skies, the stars. I didn't realize that they were connection to the Godhead, to the creator of the universe. But Jesus Christ, in the manifestation of human flesh, made all things visible. Jesus also said, "I can do nothing except what I hear and see from the Father." So if we want to walk in his creativeness, we need to first see, connect with his Father, our Father. Jesus came that we might have that freedom, that we might be connected to a living God. Sometimes we think, well, you know, why should I sacrifice this? Why should I, you know, why do I need to step out a little bit more for that? But maybe we need to remember, maybe we need to reconnect, refocus on what Jesus Christ himself did, the Godhead. Help create a living universe, majesty. He is God. And yet he gave that up to step into human form. You could say he gave up everything, or actually he didn't give up everything. But he was obedient even to death on a cross, that we might be restored to a living Father. At any moment during his lifetime on this earth, I'm sure he could have called on angels upon angels to restore things, upon the authority of a living God to change the course of something. But instead, he chose to do it as a human being, showing us that what we are and who we are in Christ Jesus is attainable. So what was it that Jesus did in human form? Well, he walked on water. He calmed a storm. He turned water into wine. He healed sick people, cast out demons. He gave people freedom. He brought restoration. He brought the kingdom of heaven to earth. This is what we are able to do ourselves in Christ Jesus. He made it attainable for us to do. Our faith may not be to walk on water, but God meets us where we're at every time. So are we walking in his creativeness? The cultivation of a created in Jesus Christ. The cultivation of created in Jesus Christ. So in other words, are we walking in our new creation in Jesus Christ? 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, if man be in Christ, he is now a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now we may wonder in a sense that, you know, we've had a calling this morning for healing, but that's a healing of this flesh. That's a healing of this physical body. Because this is the one bit that hasn't necessarily been made new. The spirit within us has been made new. It is untainted by the sinful nature. How can I say that? Because we've been sealed through the Holy Spirit, that sin cannot affect that new being within us. So what we have to do is call on the Lord to restoration of the body sometimes. We will be given a new body. That will be the complete works. So everything we are as a new creation is the result of you and me being one with Christ. In short, to possess eternal life, life himself must possess us. To know the truth must know us, you and me. Matthew 7:23, Jesus tells us, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that are a work of iniquity, that's immorality, injustice and sin. God has absolutely nothing to offer us outside of his Son, outside of Jesus. Outside of the Son, Jesus Christ, we can only ever walk in death. Even as believers, we still have a choice to make. Are we going to walk in the ways of God, or are we going to stump, are we going to thwart what he's trying to do for us? So the question is, are we in or are we out? Are we walking in our new creation? Are we exercising our righteous potential to speak life, building up each other, building up bridges, making connections rather than disconnecting, discontinuing in our relationships? Relationships are actually about building one another up. Relationships are about loving one another. Relationships are about making that connection which sees people grow. Grow in freedom, grow in love, grow in grace. But unless we're walking in these ways ourselves, unless we're keeping our eyes focused on God, it's always going to be a challenge to be a blessing to another person. It's always going to be a challenge to see his kingdom come, his will be done. Which brings us on to the cultivation of good works. Are we walking in good works, which God has prepared for us? This may raise the obvious question. When is our coffee break? Sometimes our focus is, when is the next break? When is the next release? You know, we look at retirement, don't we, as a goalpost. But the more I know of God, the more I realize that there is no retirement. They're just not part of God's remit. What are the good works that God has prepared for us? Many of us would be inclined to answer this question by pointing to specific Christians, as in Christian activities. It's our walk with God, attending worship services, praying regularly, studying scripture, giving generously from our financial resources, joining a small group, going on mission trips, caring for the poor, working for justice, for the oppressed, loving our neighbours, and so on and so forth. These are surely among the good works God has prepared for us. We are rightly engaged in these activities as people who are being transformed by God's grace through Christ Jesus. Being transformed is a key part of a Christian lifestyle, because this is as God works in us continually until that moment where we're either caught up in the air or this body physically passes away and we go to meet him that way. God is always at work in us. He's always doing something new in us. And there's a purpose for that. Whatever God does, he does for a purpose. But if we think of these good works only in their terms of what they are, we miss the extent to which God's plans for our good works have a much broader and deeper meaning. In the King James Version, which I've been reading, the Greek original reads more literally, which God prepared in advance so that we might walk in them. God has prepared something for us to walk in. And we can only walk in that if we're walking in him, if we're allowing him to do what he wants to do through us. The language of walking was used by teachers in the time of Paul in the way that we might talk of living and engaging in a certain lifestyle. What's another way of saying that? Jobs years ago used to be jobs for a lifetime, whereas the expectancy of a job these days is measured in years, 10 years at the most sometimes. Not even that if we're fortunate. What is the lifestyle we're walking in? When you commit yourself to Christ, that is the lifestyle you begin walking in. That is our remit. That's who we are. That's what makes us the difference. That's what people see as the difference. When I first came to know the Lord, I may have said this before, but when I first came to know the Lord, just within a few days, when my brother-in-law first met me after that conversion, he said, "What is it about you, Sean? There's something different. I can't put my finger on it, but there's just something different about you." Now, he'd known me for a number of years, and yet from one moment to the next, he was able to say, "There's something different." And that's what we need of the world. We need them to know that we are different. We need them to know that we apply different principles, that we walk in a different kingdom, that we serve a different master. And that master is hope. He is good news. He is life. He is love. He is amazing. So the question is, how is our walk? How is our walk with God? How do we respond to each other? As an organization, if an organization there's a lot of infighting, what tends to happen to that organization is it crumbles from within. And that's the same of church, I'm afraid. You know, if we're unable to bless each other, if we're unable to inspire, to encourage, to motivate each other, and how much harder will it be to inspire, to motivate, to tell people the good news of Jesus when they're thinking, "Wow, I don't know, you don't smell quite right to me." you know, we give off vibes with our body language. with how we talk to each other, with how we even, my daughter, bless her, was a good example. I hope she doesn't mind me telling this, but on our way to church this morning, my daughter didn't necessarily want to come, and because she quite rightly has concerns for her exams, and she wanted to be doing her homework. But I sort of said, you know, well, let's put God first. Let's go to church anyway, and we can, you know, get back to your homework. But her facial expression said everything. She was not happy, bless her. And actually, in no way, in the end, circumstances happened that she has gone home. But my mum turned around and said, well, let's pray for the car, because I had some car issues. I said, no, let's pray for Jay, bless her. And then mum said, oh yes, that's a good point. That was my next thought. Let's pray for Jay, because the car is actually unimportant. It's how we respond to those around us is what is important. So, in closing, I used the word cultivation. We are the cultivation of his workmanship. We are the cultivation of a created and created in Christ Jesus. We are the cultivation for good works. But what springs to mind with the word cultivation? Farmers are farming, gardeners are gardening. We need to look at this in the spiritual sense. God is refining us in the spiritual sense. In our walk with the Creator, we are called to be creative in sharing our knowledge with those who walk in death, so that they can be touched by the refiner's fire and walk in life. Because while they're touched by the refiner's fire, this side is a good thing. Once you get touched by the refiner's fire, the other side, it's too late. In our walk as a new creation, we are of one accord with each other, as we are in him. He is the one that helps us to be of one accord. In our walk of good works, are we sowing? Are we feeding? Are we seeing a multiplication in the growth of the fields around us? As we surrender to the Holy Spirit, allowing his work in us to refine us. We're all a work in progress, you know. We are each and every one of us. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a work in progress. That means you're growing. We are growing. If we're not growing, then it means we're doing something wrong. I'll share one more little testimony. Sometime during last year, I allowed myself to have my eyes taken off of the Lord and onto other things, issues. I was frustrated that I wasn't seeing people healed the way I read in the book of Acts. That was just one of many things that stopped me from keeping my eyes fixed on Jesus. Because ultimately what I was telling God was, well, I don't know, I don't know if I trust what I believe in anymore, because I'm fixated on what I see with the physical and not with the spiritual. And I think somebody, was it Josh, wrote about the spiritual is the greater reality over the physical. I might have got that wrong, but that's what's important to us. And last year, I allowed the physical to be my reality. So I apologize that I wasn't quite as on form as I should have been. Because where God is concerned, when we are his, we are on an upward walk with him all the way. Could the band please come back? So where are we? Where are we in the Lord? It really doesn't matter where we think we are. What's important is where we're going. Like I said earlier, God will meet you every time where you're at. But he does want us to move on. He doesn't want us to keep walking around the same mountain. We have been set free. We have been restored. And there is a world that needs to know that. And in Christ Jesus, we are able to express that truth and see people coming into his kingdom.